knowledge fight.
And Jordan, I am sweating.
KnowledgeFight.com.
It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight.
I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan.
Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy and Kansas. Stop it. Andy and Kansas. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, drink novelty beverages, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Dan.
Jordan.
When was the last time you unplugged?
Unplugged? Like
full on? Ooh. Or whatever definition of unplugged that you feel comfortable with calling that definition.
That's a great question. It's been too long.
I've long... 92? No. Nirvana? Was that...
No. Certainly not that far back, but it's been a number of years since I... Like, me and my buddies generally go on float trips, and that's always a good time. Although, even like once you have smartphones, you can still kind of bring them along.
Oh, it's awful.
But those are kind of a good time to check out a society, go down a lazy river.
Yeah.
That's a good time. I've long felt the call of nature, at least like the last couple years. I've been definitely feeling like I want to do more camping, but it's kind of difficult.
Yeah. In some ways, you have been emulating Grizzly Adams for the past few.
My beard's getting a little crazy.
Yeah.
And I have a cat, and I have plants in my home now, so that's the Chicago apartment version, I suppose. But yeah, I want to go camping, but I have some difficulties. One, I don't have a car. Two, I don't have camping equipment.
Right.
Three, schedule of this show is very difficult. But I would like that. I love the woods. I love being outside. It's one of the things I miss the most about being in, central Missouri back when I lived there was, you know, you just go, little ways down, you're going to find a little bit of forest somewhere.
Yeah. Take a walk, you'll find some forest.
And that's not true everywhere, but most of places in the town, or at least that's how I remember it.
Yeah.
You drive 15 minutes, you're going to be at,
the town is 20 miles across and you're like, take a walk and you'll be outside.
Sure. Maybe slightly folksier memory of it than, it was real, but there, it was much more accessible, campgrounds and stuff like that. It feels much less so here in Chicago. Although, realistically, there probably are a bunch of places that are not very far from the city.
Yeah, probably not.
That you could go and camp. But again, no camping gear.
No, I know.
No car.
What, are you going to get an RV?
I've told you that we should go camping, and you have almost spit on me.
I am not a fan of the out-of-doors,
Yeah,
Dan.
You have been very against that idea. But yeah, I'd like to do that, to unplug, cause, you know, it's unhealthy to stay plugged in all the time.
Yeah.
But I have a tree outside my window, and that's good enough
for
me.
That's close enough. Yeah, I like it.
Anyway, this is a podcast where I know a bit about camping and quite a bit about Alex Jones.
And I don't know anything about either.
That's correct. So, Jordan, today we are checking in on the present day, and we're going to be going over October 8th and 9th, 2019.
Sure.
It's an interesting stretch of time where there's a lot of real world stuff going on.
I don't remember any of it.
Alex has some interesting takes on them. One tremendously bad take, and then one, all right, whatever take.
Okay.
And I'll give you that in advance.
All right.
That is that he supports the people who are doing Hong Kong protests and is against the companies who are trying to silence those protests.
Right. But that's even that, I think, is coming from a bad face place.
Exactly. That's why I say it's an okay take.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah.
I agree with
the
bottom line, I guess, but I know that you're wrong about China being run by the literal devil.
Right. That one is an issue.
Yeah.
That one is an issue. I agree. The NBA is full of bullshit,
uh-huh.
but also not the devil.
Right.
Yeah.
I guess he has another horrific take, too, but we'll get to that as we get to it. But before we get to the episode, Jordan, we're going to take a little moment to say thank you to some people who have signed up and are supporting the show. So first of all, Brian, thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Brian.
Next, Brandy. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you, Brandy.
Next.
High school crush.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's a fine girl. What a good wife she would be.
No, what?
But my love, my life, and my lady... is the sea.
All right.
You don't like Looking Glass?
I got it.
Okay. Next, Anthony, thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you, Anthony. Anthony.
Next, Evan. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you, Evan. Next, and finally, I'd like to say thank you to a couple people donated on Elevated Level. We appreciate that very much. So first of all, Marius, thank you so much. And Neil, thank you so much. You are both wonderful technocrats.
I'm a policy wonk.
Crikey, mate, that's fantastic. Have yourself a brew.
How's your 401k doing, bro?
All right, we got to go full tilt boogie on this, Watson, all right? Let's just get down to business. We ain't making that money off that heroin. Why you pimp so good? My neck is freakishly large.
I declare info war on you.
Thank you so much, Marius and Neil.
Yes, thank you very much.
If you're out there listening and you're thinking, hey, I enjoy this show, I'd like to support what these gents do, you can support the show by going to our website, knowledgefight.com, clicking the button that says support the show. We would appreciate it.
It'd be lovely.
So, for first bad take,
yeah,
we start
right
off
out the gate
on the 8th, and it has to do with Syria. It has to do with the Kurds.
Surprise.
And Alex's big scale take on this.
Is genocide that bad?
He's not even dealing with it on those terms necessarily.
Uh-huh.
He's dealing with the situation where Trump is signaling to Erdogan that it's totally cool to do whatever you want.
Right.
In northern Syria, just go for it.
Yes.
We're not going to stop you.
Yeah.
He's dealing with that on a very elementary level. One of the pieces is Trump said he was going to bring home troops. Which is not a great take.
No, that one's bad. I'm gonna call that one bullshit.
But that one is actually a position that he has that takes an interesting journey throughout the course of this episode that we'll see.
Right. He should put them in Hong Kong.
The other one is, the other take that he has is that, look, man, there's two options here. Maybe this one isn't great, but the other one is worse.
It was Obama and the globalists that took over the sovereign state, the Ba'athist state of Syria that's been stable for 50 years.
Really?
It was the neocons and the globalists that created this crisis. Now they've handed it to Trump, and Turkey has said, we're either going to flood Europe in a new disaster, or we're going to move these people back into Syria. And so Trump said, well, I'm not going to go to war with you if you try to do that. And then Pat Robertson comes out and says that Trump will lose the mandate of heaven if, I guess, we don't go to war with Turkey.
So Alex's whole thing is that Erdogan had said that, you know, I'm going to let these immigrants, these refugees from Syria come through the border unless I can set up this safe space here.
Yeah.
I would say that that's... taking what you might call a dictator says as the two options, and then believing those are the sincere two options.
Right, 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 right.
That seems like a loser's game.
Well,
that
all
Alex
I know,
is engaging in.
All I know for sure is that, you know, with dictators, you can always trust them to follow through on their word. That's
and
for sure.
To create precise, accurate, realistic dichotomies.
Oh, 100%.
These are your two options.
That's why we elect strongmen, is because they have nuanced takes on things, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So Alex is dealing with it on that level. He's like, well, I don't want 3.6 million more refugees going into the Great West in Europe. So, of course, we have to let them ethnically cleanse our allied people there.
Yeah, and it's, you know, you can trust Turkey, too, because they've never, historically, Turkey has never committed any mass-scale atrocities of any kind.
Alex has some thoughts about those.
Oh, sure.
He says there at the end that Pat Robertson is saying that Trump, if he does this, if he allows this to happen, he will lose heaven's mandate.
Yeah.
And Alex has a particular critique of Pat Robertson's words.
So we've got that huge report and Pat Robertson saying all this. And by the way, you probably heard of mandate of heaven. That is an exact Chinese proverb. When different Chinese emperors were successful, they had the mandate of heaven. When they didn't, they had lost the mandate. The communist Chinese talk about the mandate of the Communist Party being the mandate of heaven. So that is just all part of the Chinification, the Chi-comification.
So one thing is true about this, and that is a Chinese idea.
Oh, yeah,
it
absolutely.
It goes back to, like, the kingdoms and way back.
300 BC, roughly.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So that is a real thing. He is right.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's not a proverb, but, you
probably
know.
Not.
Yeah.
Proverbially not.
Yeah.
So he's right on sort of a micro scale, mm-hmm. but on a larger scale, I would say that there is a lot of divine talk that surrounds Trump coming out of InfoWars.
No.
So for him to be like, you know, I don't think that Pat Robertson is quoting the Chinese here.
No, of course
I don't think
not.
He's referring to that.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it has to do with their ideas about divine rule.
Yeah, instead of Trump being a god king, Pat Robertson says he has the mandate of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really important squabble to really hammer out at this point in time. You know, you want want a westernized mandate of heaven.
Trump's even made overtures to the idea that, you know, God put him in power.
Oh, yeah. Well, so, I mean, once you get to great and ineffable wisdom or whatever the
right.
fuck he said.
Infinite.
Yeah, which should have been an impeachable offense right there, right?
Hit.
Just even writing that should have been like
big buzzer.
No, get the fuck out of here. Get out of here.
Yeah. So I think that's really interesting. And it's something that when I heard, I was like, Alex, you know how much you talk about God and Trump and all this. Like, you know, why are you pointing the finger at Pat Robertson for using similar ideas, but in the opposite direction that you wanted to go. And all of a sudden, that's now a Chinese trick.
Well, your God says something different than my God, except we're technically calling him the same God, but you're an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
That's not how religion ever works, though.
Yeah. So Alex is peeved that Robertson's using this Chinese proverb in order to malign Trump for his decision to allow Turkey to come in and start bombing people. And Alex...
Innocent people.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
True. And Alex has an interesting position on this, and that is that there's sort of a circumstance wherein he would be against the Kurds being attacked.
Sure. Let's hear
these. And unfortunately, that has not been satisfied.
What, did they outlaw abortion?
Mm.
And how to sit there now and blame Trump when he's saying, okay, I got two bad decisions, but the least bad is to let Turkey go into northern Syria, a place up until, what, World War I or so that they controlled. So 100 years ago, 102 years ago or so, Turkey still controlled that area. And there's constant civil war going on between the Kurds and Turkey. The United States geopolitically has used the Kurds as a set piece and has used it as an excuse to stay in the region. And when I talk to U.S. military, including, quote, special forces people, they're so brainwashed. They go, well, the Kurds are Christians. No, they're not. They're 90% plus Muslim.
So let them die.
I mean, just the level of brainwashing our own troops are given about why the Kurds are our buddies and why we need to be there.
It does seem that Alex has a bit of a like, yeah, if that were true, I'd be with you.
Of
on
course,
that.
I would support you if they were Christian, but they're Muslim, so let them be burnt alive. It doesn't matter. That's his take.
It does.
It
seem
is
like
his
it.
Take. Yeah.
It seems like that is like, well, yeah, that would be a good argument, but it's not
true. Because you're an idiot.
That's real scary.
You know, he's got two options, Dan.
Right.
He can leave people in there, a very relatively speaking small number of people.
Quite small.
Providing a lot of support, which also is less necessary for, you know, it's just a signal that we're there and we're watching.
Mm-hmm.
And to remove them is a signal that you can, that bombs away.
We are not watching.
So generally speaking, the lesser of two evils is never go ahead and commit genocide because I'm annoyed with this phone call. That's usually not the better of two evils, you know?
And if that's how you're presenting it, that means you are really winging it. Or you're just lying. One of the two is clear for Alex. I'm not entirely sure which it is because he gets completely 180'd on this episode.
Okay.
Like he has this position that it is just like, you know, Trump said he's going to pull troops out, you know, taking them out of Afghanistan, he's going to bring the boys home, all this stuff.
Yeah,
and by the end of it, he's just realized this is a completely stupid argument.
Yeah. 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 Cause it is.
But it's weird to see that for someone who's like researched and like,
oh, yeah,
I know
sure,
all
sure,
this
sure,
stuff
sure.
For on like the course of his episode, like within 2 hours, he is like just completely changed his tune.
Of course.
It's very weird. But one thing that we know for sure is that all of these whistleblowers that are coming out about Trump and his phone calls.
Democratic hit jobs.
Well, it might not even be just the Democrats.
Okay.
Obviously it is the Democrats.
Naturally.
But, you know, they're allowing or talking about allowing these people to testify with their identities hidden.
Right.
Because.
As opposed to hanging them, which is what he would prefer.
Maybe. But, from what I understand, the conversation is surrounding safety issues. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
Alex believes that they're actually just going to try and bring, like, Clapper in and obscure his face so no one knows that it's actually just Clapper or Brennan.
That would be hilarious.
And then the latest, ladies and gentlemen, with the so-called whistleblowers, that what do you call a disgruntled Democrat that's being taken out of power who's corrupt? Well, I mean, they all know that Clapper and Brennan and all the usual suspects, like Andy McCabe and all of them that are getting indicted,
Benicio del Toro,
are discredited. So they come out and say their names. They'll go, oh, that's a partisan that was involved politically trying to stop Trump using intelligence agencies. So they call themselves whistleblowers and claim that Trump's doing to them what they did to him.
Aha. So because they've been burned as Trump haters and discredited, now we have to put a little pixel on them, pixelate the face, and retrot them out as whistleblowers.
Yeah. Yep.
Great.
There you go.
Cool.
I like the idea of him being on the fucking house floor and they just turn the lights down on him and he's got a little vocoder on his but it's a Peter Frampton vocoder. It's not a actual
wow.
Absolutely. And then at the end of his testimony they just turn the lights on and like, "Hey, look at you. All right, get out of here."
Yeah. I don't know. I think this is silly, and if this is what you got, you don't got much. So Alex then gets the spirit in him, and he starts ranting about how his show is basically just the spirit of America.
Real quick, are we all just going to let it go that Democrats are credibly afraid that if they share the identity of the whistleblower with other House representatives, they will leak it and kill the man? Are we just going to all be like, this is fine?
I guess. I guess that is...
That's how we're doing it. Okay, cool.
So anyway, Alex's show is the voice of Americana.
Yes, okay.
And the Republic.
Right.
I literally wrote the future warfare doctrine on information warfare response to the Chi-Coms if America wants to survive. And I'm not bragging, but it's time to just get down to brass tacks. This is the spirit of the Republic. This broadcast is it. And I don't mean that to brag. That's a very dangerous position to be in, and it shows how cowardly everybody else was or how they just bought into all these fake doctrines. The real globalist doctrine is public. That said, I got behind this weekend, as you know. I didn't even really plug on the Sunday show. I barely even plugged yesterday because I'm so busy and so focused, and if I don't plug, we won't be here.
Smooth.
He's roughly 10 years behind.
10 years behind on these plugging. 10 years behind,
have you?
This is crazy. I told you how to beat the Chi-Coms years ago, and I'm the we are the cell of America. Now, I got to
listen.
Right.
I'm a little bit behind. I'm not doing a good job of this. I am bad at being the voice of Americana, and I want to let you know that, and that's why you should give
me money. I'm too busy being the voice of Americana to plug all the time.
Yeah.
I can only plug half the time.
Yes,
and that is a problem right
that's
now because our finances are drying up. So Alex gets back to the issue with Syria. And again, this is really, I think, a crystallization of his viewpoint. And it is I don't care.
Right.
And it's also Trump is doing the right thing.
Sure.
But here's the president who's right saying it's time to come back home. He promised to get us out of Syria. He promised to get us out of Afghanistan. He's ordered the withdrawal. It's down to almost nothing in Afghanistan. And he's now withdrawn everybody out of there. And Turkey always said, we're going to move in and take over northern Kurdistan because it's always launching attacks on us. And then that's where they'll kick the invaders back in. And yeah, it's going to be a mess because the globalists destabilize it on purpose. Not our problem. Trump's fixing it. Here's the president.
It's not our problem. That's,
Man,
that's
you know, when that's the voice of Americana, we've always been on the right side of history. I recall, if I recall correctly, whenever we say, as a country, it's not America, so who cares?
Right.
Everybody, when they read the history books, are like, that was the right move.
It certainly seems like that's the position Alex is taking, and I do not find it to be compelling. I do not find it, to be at all, responsible or good. Because it's saying like, fuck it, who cares? No matter what atrocities, no matter what horrible things you see, that is just it's in many ways blaming the people who are going to be affected by this.
Yeah. The people who are going to be murdered by this.
Yes.
Yeah. Not affected.
Right.
They would be affected if they were likely to live through it.
But the issue is that the globalists are behind all this, right? Obama started all these wars and what have you, and I mean, sure, there was more military action under Obama than I'm comfortable with. That's okay. That's a criticism I'm willing to hear from anybody but Alex Jones.
Yeah, no shit.
But unfortunately, as he's discussing that dynamic, he ends up, you know, really showing some cards about, like, what he believes is going on in the world.
Obama launched more wars than Bush did. And I didn't like those wars, because they were destabilizing countries and putting things far worse in. Look at Iraq. It's in a civil war. They're under martial law right now. The whole Middle East is fighting over control. It's what the Muslims do.
Yep. What?
They never stop fighting with themselves or anybody else.
So it's just what the Muslims do.
Right. Right. Now, I would counterpoint, maybe colonialism exacerbated a lot of those issues.
Certainly. But you know? what you hear here is like, okay, the Middle East, everyone's fighting for control. They're killing each other because that's what the Muslims do. Essentially, we've already heard him say, like, Syria was in this stable place, under Assad and his father as
dictators.
Well, yeah,
but they were fighting
under dictatorships.
Right.
Muslims are stable and under control.
Of course.
He's essentially advocating for a worldview where, like, you can't have, Muslims not under an oppressive dictator.
Well, and that's why we went into, Iran and installed a, religious theocracy, there in order to make sure that they were stable. You know, that was what we wanted out of it. We wanted a stable country.
It seems like this is a lot of what he's implying underneath, what he's saying. And I'm deeply uncomfortable for that, particularly because he's Mr. Police State.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
He's Mr. Anti-Tyranny. And he seems to be pretty clearly expressing a view that some people just gotta live in tyranny.
Yeah.
Like, otherwise, they're just fight with each other, kill everybody. It's what they do.
Well, and not just that, he's also kind of expressing, at least underneath this overall strategy, for dealing with the Middle East of just, well, let them fight it out.
Yeah.
And then we'll deal with whatever's left over.
Yeah, there is a little bit of that. I mean, you did literally say it's not our problem.
Yep.
So that's not good. He gets back now to talking about, China issues.
Sure.
And like I said, I am on the side of against these companies that are trying to censor Hong Kong messages.
Naturally.
And that sort of thing.
Because you're a human is what we call that.
I have vague humanity left in me after years of listening to Alex Jones. But yes. And Alex's whole take on this is that the Chinese government's been exposed as the, like, censoring people that they are. And I don't necessarily think that anybody ever didn't think that to some extent.
No, I'm pretty sure everybody
knew. I think Alex's version of it is greatly exaggerated.
Yeah.
But I think that people in normal political, talk, they don't pretend that's not the case.
No, and I would imagine that, even for the people of China who don't have, access to VPNs and the like that allow them to see the internet as we know it, I think if you are not one of those people and you're just looking around for the internet and you find a site that's blocked because of, you know, the repressive government, you're like, we live under censorship.
Mm.
It's not hard to figure out.
Yeah.
It's not like you're brainwashed to where you can't see that 404 not found is just your government saying, fuck you.
And so Alex has this idea that, like, when he was taken off social media and all these places, you know, he's all kicked off YouTube, but it's all because he had the program to take down the Chinese government. He was the only one who really knew how to fight the Chinese, evil government.
Sure.
And so they censored him. And now look out, CNN, you're next. They're all going to, like, everybody's going to go.
Yeah, yeah.
And he just is like, everybody who criticizes China is completely silenced and all this. And there's an essential problem because he's also won't stop talking about the new episode of South Park that was all about China. It was all about, like, the camps that they have for dissidents.
Yeah, 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 absolutely.
And so
the genocide they're perpetrating on the Muslim members of their country.
That is a counterexample to Alex's entire point that everything about anti-China or critical of China is censored. He doesn't understand that he's like, everybody, no one's allowed to talk about China. Now, this great episode of South Park just came out.
Yeah.
It's like... Jesus. Wait a second.
Yeah.
You don't realize they're one of the, I don't know how, what their ratings are doing now, but they're one of the most long standing shows on Comedy Central. They're huge ratings. One of the biggest shows maybe of the last decades.
Yeah. 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 Or at least most influential.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so Alex tries to play a clip from the South Park episode. It does not go well. And he is totally fine with that.
And then we'll come back and break down more of this geopolitically and what this means. But here's the dad who's in the death camp in China. It's clip 17. Drum roll, please.
It seems to me like your music is kind of...
Hey, let's just stop. Let's just stop. It's okay. No big deal. You know, we have had a lot of computer problems, and it's not a big deal. I'm happy with it. We'll try next hour after our guest leaves us to go to these clips.
It's not a big deal. I'm totally happy with it.
That's so funny.
That's a guy who's so mad.
Yeah, he's furious. That's so funny.
I get, like, the idea of being like, hey, it's no big deal. We'll, you know, we'll deal with this later. It's you know, like, I get that, but being like, I'm totally happy about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's,
Alex.
That's overcompensating.
I got a little inside information for you. It is the Grays.
Yeah, we know. It's a pulsar attack.
Yep, you got it.
So Alex said he's got a guest, and he does. He has a guest coming up after the break, and that is, of course, the anti-communist himself, Joel Skousen. Joel Skousen comes in, and, you know, I think his prominence in the show is hedging a little bit on Alex's part. Like, he's certainly, like, still very aggressively pro-Trump.
Yeah.
But Joel Skousen is pretty critical of Trump and frequently on Alex's show says that Trump is stupid.
Right.
And
because he is.
And the idea that Skousen's coming up more regularly now makes me think that Alex is trying to, like, at least leave that door open a little bit.
Okay. Okay. You think he's trying to hedge his bets so if all the shit goes down and the public opinion or the opinion amongst his circle of minions changes, then he'll be able to credibly say, no, I had this guy on there. Mm-hmm. I was debating with him and now
keep up appearances of a critical voice.
Right.
In case you need him. Keep him credible and fresh in the audience's mind too.
Right.
In case you do decide, I gotta jump ship on this.
Right.
Now you still have an expert you can go to as opposed to all the other Trump, lunatics.
Who are going to never speak to you again.
Yeah. So Alex talks, to Skousen here. And I want to remind you, earlier in the episode, Alex's thing was, it doesn't matter what's going on in Syria, and it's great. Trump said he's going to bring troops home.
Right.
And Skousen has a completely different take on this.
But there are several much more larger bases with combat troops south of that area in Syria that aren't leaving. And so Trump has been given some false intelligence that you're going to be leaving Syria if you take out these two outposts. It's just not true. And so I think he's been snookered. But I think the larger agenda is to have a major war start with Turkey and the Kurds that will then justify pushing Trump into letting armed forces come back into Syria. In other words, it's a backdoor to get more troops into Syria by letting a massacre occur between Turkey and the Kurds.
Turkey's one of the largest conventional militaries.
Were you eating? You were eating, Alex.
Can you speak to that, Joel?
He's definitely eating.
He's definitely eating.
Yes, 100%.
That is a man eating food.
Right, but Joel Skousen has very accurately pointed out that this is not going to be a meaningful withdrawal. This is going to, if anything, cause awful results that might make it more likely that more people will go in.
Yeah.
Whatever you are pushing forth as, like, he said he's going to bring the guys home or whatever, or saying it's not our problem, Joel Skousen does not agree with either of those things. And, I mean, it's sad how easily Alex completely falls in line with Skousen's position. Like, he's completely convinced him within a matter of minutes to go completely against what he was saying earlier in the episode.
He's not taking out the hundreds of other troops and Blackwater mercenaries that are deeply in these other bases in Syria. So he's being lied to by his intelligence.
But let me ask you this question when we come back with Joel Skousen. What does President Trump do to get out of this mess, this bear trap that he's obviously stepped into? And again, Trump's not God. He makes mistakes, folks. And I agree with Joel Skousen that the way this has all been maneuvered, he's being set up.
That was fast.
It's crazy.
That is, I was skeptical that it would be that blatant.
Uh-huh.
Like when you said he changes his position, I thought he was going to ease into it and maybe be like, you know what? I think you have a point. You know, we're going to discuss this after the break. And instead he was like, yeah, he fucked up. Everybody knows it. I agree with him.
Yeah. Wow. Turns out Trump has been set up.
Yeah. Yeah.
What the fuck?
This is the deep state.
These are serious issues. Like, he doesn't have any idea.
Him.
No.
He doesn't give a fuck.
He doesn't have any idea what he's even espousing to his audience.
Nope.
All it takes is Joel Skousen and a fucking sandwich break for him to completely change his narrative.
He was so hungry he's fine with genocide. You know, when you're that, when it's you get,
good
you know,
Snickers
when
commercial.
You're hangry.
Yeah. I think Alex might be, that's a new career for him. Snickers commercials where he just changes his narratives.
Oh my God. That would be such a good commercial if they just had a president sitting in there and he's on the phone and he's like, fine, you know what? Go ahead, bomb the shit out of him. And then one of his Secret Service agents hand him a Snickers and he's like, you know what? I think we should protect innocent people.
It even feels bad to joke about this, you know, because it is very serious.
No, it's an intense fucking tragedy that is so massive and so fucked up to the point where I am utterly against a fucking military coup,
mm-hmm.
but there is a point where you have to say, I can't obey these orders.
It's really tough. And I think that, the only thing that's amusing about this is the fact that Alex flips that quick.
Yeah.
Like, it seems like something that he should care about more. It seems like something that he should have a robust position on that isn't influenceable just by Joel Skousen saying,
right.
You're wrong.
Right.
That's dumb. But hey, that's not the world we live in. Alex doesn't really have anything until he talks to one of these experts who will be like, all right, here you go. This is your talking point. Now move forward with it. Okay. I'll contradict myself.
Sure.
Anyway, the 8th isn't that great of an episode. It's mostly yelling about China and South Park episode and who cares?
It is weird how in the span of 2 days, we've had such obviously evil shit happen that even the Republicans are like, Jesus Christ, we have to say this. We're always on the wrong side and you're making us do this now?
Yeah, it's overwhelming.
Yeah.
But hey, man, we come in on the 9th and we find out that whatever, look, you think that the GOP and the Republicans are in a bad position. But that's not really true. If you look at real polls.
The globalists are in deep trouble, and the real polls show Trump 17 to 25 points ahead of any of the Democrats. America is in love with Trump, in love with the awakening. They're in love with InfoWars.
They love him.
Wow. I don't like being gaslit that bad.
It's real crazy.
That's bad.
I don't, Alex uses Real Clear Politics as a reference on this episode. So I went and checked out their, just polling data.
Yeah.
And, literally every, I think, Mayor Pete, he was down 1 point to Trump in a head-to-head comparison.
Oh, man. Mayor Pete, get out. Get the fuck out. Get out of this race.
Every single other relevant Democrat that they had polled was at least five points ahead in all, like, consistently. And then there's another study that came out at the beginning of this month, I believe, like October 3rd, that was Trump is down 11 to a generic Democrat.
Yeah,
just fill in the blank Democrat.
Just so long as we don't have to, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, so I don't know what real polls he's talking about, but that seems to be pretty well on the side of impossible.
I don't know. Maybe he's using one of Trump's own internet polls. Like, he couldn't he couldn't actually say that 97% of the population wants to re-elect him. That's just too far even for him. So he'll just say, 17 to 45 points.
We do know that he has a real tendency towards those unscientific internet polls and citing them as the quote-unquote real polls.
If you can vote twice, it's a real poll, Dan.
But that just shows intensity. Yeah. And if you intensely feel something, you vote for it six times, that's the same as six people.
That is the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're not even a undocumented immigrant, Dan.
Sure. So Alex is on a real sort of – he's feeling good on this episode.
Okay.
And that's because he's
– How?
Because he's right about everything.
Ugh.
As we saw in that last episode on the 8th, he was not even internally right about anything. But that doesn't matter.
You know, they talk about the Oracle of Omaha being Warren Buffett. Well, he always has the inside knowledge. Well, I study history. I study facts, and it really is true. No one is as accurate as InfoWars. And that's not a statement in arrogance. It's a very dangerous thing because we're willing to tell the truth. Most people know the truth, just won't tell you. Hell, most of you know more than I do. You don't need to be an oracle to know all this. You've got to have common sense. But we are at the crossroads. You can use that term, but there's no way to overuse it. This is it. And communist China, the most evil regime in planetary history, is trying to dictate the terms of our surrender. And why not? I mean, we've capitulated to everything else. We've been taught to be good little politically correct minions.
Yet you did an hour on the South Park episode
yep.
yesterday.
Yep.
So I don't know. I think that it's definitely possible to overuse we're at the crossroads.
Yeah.
And Alex might be living proof of that.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
You can overuse things like they're making their move. You could do that. You could say this is the globalist main push.
It's unprecedented.
That. Sure. That could be overused.
Yeah. There's not much he doesn't overuse.
But he's right about everything.
Man,
that's what's
he
important.
Really isn't.
No, but that's how he feels on the 9th.
How?
I don't know. But it leads him to, like, really get into the intro music when he's coming back from that break.
Right,
he's coming
right,
back
right.
from commercial break. He really gets into the – and, you know, this is one of those things where it's like, yeah, we've talked about this before, how, like, sometimes you'll be like, I hate this guy, but that passion is infectious. This might be one of those cases.
Okay.
Although you might not be susceptible to it. I'm not sure. We'll see.
And I want to come in with some original Lynyrd Skynyrd deep out of the swamps of Florida for you. To remind everybody that I can't sell out, I can't back down, I can't turn my guns in, I can't turn my kids over to pedophiles.
Yep.
There's no getting me to ever compromise, but here's the deal, I know you're not going to compromise either. So let's work hard in the information wars, we don't have to go the physical route. But whatever happens, we're going to win this thing. You can feel it, you can see it, and the enemy knows it. So let's go ahead and let them hear a couple minutes of this anthem. It's time to fly free bird. Lord knows I can't change. Lord knows I can't lie to you. That's why you just get truth. That's why it all comes true. Because let me tell you, I'm not here even coming up with this information. It's just flowing through me. And it's going to flow through you. And instead of getting down and angry like I do as well, we got to decide to just meet Hillary and meet the globalists with Christ winning our sails and say, if they want to fight, I don't know how it's going to end, but they better one. Let's listen to a little bit of this on this Wednesday transmission.
That's Randy Rhodes.
Ooh.
It's not Randy Ooh. Rhodes. Yeah, I guess that one wasn't as good as some of the other times he's done shit like that.
No. It's not that it wasn't inspiring.
Yeah.
It's that
that's
that sounded,
a modern day Patton
that,
speech.
Yeah. No, to me that sounded more like I was at the back of a revivalist tent, and there are all these people. There's like 1,000 people in there, and I'm watching them go apeshit for this, and I'm like, ooh, I gotta go.
Yeah,
I gotta get out of here. This is a very scary place to be.
This is a very susceptible room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The words "burn him" could be said, and they would.
At the end there, you know, like he's also talking about, like, we're going to give it to Hillary. And I should point out that Alex is now really ramping up his Hillary is going to run talk.
Yeah.
I guess Hillary gave an interview where she's talking about how Trump's really obsessed with her, keeps tweeting about her, and like, maybe we should have a rematch.
Yeah.
She shouldn't say things like that.
No.
She's not going to run.
No.
But like, Alex is like so excited about that. And I think everybody in that right-wing world is so excited about, like, she said something that indicates that she's going to run. So now
we get to get the band back together, man. We've already got this machine. Wait, we got it in the fucking shed.
Yeah.
We were hoping to break it out. Boom.
Yep. So Alex is real excited about that, and he spends a good bit of time ruminating in his Hillary fantasies of she's going to run again. Plays the clip of her on that talk show a couple times, and great, man. Great. Great. So, we come down to a choice in our lives.
Sure.
And that is that we need to either...
Paper or plastic?
Well, what we need to do is we need to choose what team we're on. Not paper or plastic.
Okay.
We need to choose whether we're with the globalist Satans or the West.
Right.
We have to choose one of those two.
Right.
And Alex lays it out here, and I honestly think that this is a false dichotomy.
I can't choose the Bears, right?
No.
Okay.
You can't choose the Bears.
Gotcha.
The whole world better decide, are you with the globalist Chi-Com, Mark of the Beast, authoritarian system? You're going to throw your lot in with it, for better or worse, for richer or poorer, till death do you part. Or do you want to go with the ideals of the West and the Renaissance and Christendom and Americana? And everything that made us so great that everybody wants to take over and that now we become decadent and evil ourselves and we're losing. Do we want to go with what we know works in this race of life, an 800 horsepower Dodge Hellcat? Or do you want to be in a Gremlin 100 horsepower vehicle that's engine doesn't even start? I mean, it really comes down to that.
Those don't either sound like good choices. I mean, like, so you've got on the one hand the globalist, authoritarian, Satan, China machine.
Right.
And that, of course, sounds bad the way you're putting it.
Right.
And then on the other side, you've got the ideals of the West and the Renaissance that ultimately lead to you becoming sluggish and awful or whatever. You know, like, it breeds decadence and then you're,
I think he flipped those around. He didn't say respectively.
He does. His belief is that, like, okay, so the West is so powerful, right? These ideas of the West.
Right.
They're so strong and breed so much success for everybody.
Yeah.
That the first generation, you know, makes a lot of money and they all do really well. And then the next generation, they become slobs and decadent because there's so much money. And then the third generation is all evil because they're used to the decadence.
Sure.
And then the fourth generation requires a coming back to God or whatever.
Oh, okay.
I would say that either of those sounds terrible. Like being trapped in a cycle of decadence and then strict reformation.
Right.
Or authoritarian nightmare. I feel like there's another option is what I'm saying.
Right.
I don't think that either of these are the only games in town.
Right. We can either go on the infinite wheel of reincarnation and misery, or we can go on the straight line of misery.
Mm-hmm.
Nope, there's no other option, dude.
I guess the wheel one, you change scenery a little bit.
Yeah.
So that might be more preferable.
I mean, it depends on which generation you're in, I suppose.
It's true.
Yeah, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like, well, it's
as
like
long
all
as you dodge
like
that fourth
guys.
One, it's pretty good.
Yeah,
I think,
no,
probably.
It's like all of these guys. They're all for fascism, mainly because they assume they're going to be in the generation that gets to enjoy fascism, not the one that gets fucked over by fascism.
It does feel that way a little bit. So, Alex is realizing that he's kind of, he's been a supporter of free speech, what have you. But he realizes that we need to actively, support free speech, right?
Sure.
I'm not sure exactly.
I'm cagey about that sentence.
I'm not entirely sure what that's advocating for.
Right.
But then he gets into talking.
I think it's him getting back on Facebook. I think that's what we're talking about.
If I had to choose something, I would say that's probably what it is. But then he gets into how, like, why he believes that he is in the situation that he's in, where he's not on Facebook.
Right.
And again, that's because he's a threat to China.
And so we don't need to just say that we support people's free speech. We need to actively engage in it. And let Google and Facebook and Twitter and all the people trying to help China censor know that we're not submitting to them. Because, you know, they started with me 14 months ago. built up a huge ad campaign. More criticism of me in the last 3 years than China has been criticized in the news in a decade.
I doubt that.
Literally. There's almost never any criticism. I'm criticized really? Every day, sometimes in thousands of newspapers at one time, every news program lying about me. Why? I'm seen as the Americana virus of liberty. They call me a virus on CNN that could replicate and defeat them. Because when I'm promoting works, it sells, it's popular, it's historical. So they built up that straw man to then get people to accept this show being silenced. We weren't silenced. We didn't roll over and die. I'm just supposed to believe that when they said it like it's a magic trick. Nope, didn't work. Return to sender, as Elvis would say. And now it's going to be everybody. It's going to be you. We got to say no. We're all Alex Jones now, like we're all Spartacus. We're all Donald Trump now. We're all Matt Drudge now. And we're not backing down. We're not giving in. And we're saying no to the Chi-Coms.
I have some weird feelings about this, because what does that mean? Like, what are you advocating for? Do you want, like, to go to war with China? Do you want to cut off all economic relations with China?
Right.
Like, do you think that these things are, like, productive suggestions towards dealing with the very real issues that do exist?
Yeah.
Because I don't know what he's advocating for, other than getting him back on Facebook.
Right. We're doing trade war. That's going great. So I suppose the next logical conclusion is regular war, which I assume is going to go well for everybody involved.
Alex is an anti-intervention guy, though.
But they're the globalists.
That's true.
So we have to break out all the stops to defeat the globalists.
I guess he probably could rationalize that.
Yeah.
Although,
it's not military intervention, Dan. It's military, invention.
Sure.
How's that?
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Also, I have bad news about Matt Drudge. A lot of people are suggesting that he is turning on Trump a little bit. Based on the fact that a lot of the stories that he's running as, you know, because he's just like a link aggregator, more or less.
Mm.
A lot of the stories that he's putting up and promoting on his site are critical of Trump.
Right.
There's a change in tone.
Well, because it's hard to find anything else.
There's a change in tone that's happening over on the old Drudge Report, a little bit. So, there's a CNN article you can find about that, and I know that CNN's not a really great source in Alex's world.
No.
But ours, mostly. That CNN article, they also talk about Jim Hoft, the guy from Gateway Pundit.
Yeah.
He even wrote an article about what the fuck is going on with Matt Drudge.
Right.
Like, people in the right-wing world are starting to notice that shift in editorial stance towards a critical one of Trump.
Yeah.
And if Alex loses Matt Drudge, then
it's over.
He can't do this anymore.
No.
I don't know how I'll, like, he, one of the reasons I think that is because he can't throw Matt Drudge overboard. He just can't.
Does Drudge still aggregate his stuff?
Alex's?
Yeah.
I don't know enough. I don't go check out the Drudge report.
Yeah, that's fair.
But
that's
I assume
fair.
That every now and again he'll have a story
yeah,
that gets
maybe.
Linked on there.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
Paul Joseph Watson might or something.
Drudge will toss him a bone every now and
sure,
then.
Sure. I would assume that's still in place a little bit.
Cool.
But I think more importantly, because of Alex's narratives that he's built up over the years about how Matt Drudge is the only patriot still left out there.
He really gets it,
He can't let that slide. Like, I think that would be a bridge too far for him to cross. Like, Matt Drudge has been got by the globalists or something.
Yeah.
Like, I really don't think he can do that. Drudge is too central to Alex's world entirely for him to turn him into a villain.
Yeah.
Or to, like, allow him to be working on the other team.
Yeah.
Alex would have to migrate with Drudge, I think.
You know, that's a fascinating thing that's a good position for Drudge to be in, because we're really finding out right now how much people are in, you know? Like, Lindsey Graham is so far in, one of his purviews is like, let's not allow them to commit genocide. Let's just not do that. And now he has to be like, I guess we're letting him commit genocide, and I can say I don't agree with it, but I can't say fuck this guy.
Yeah.
Whereas Drudge, because he's functionally like not an interview subject or a public figure.
He's not voted on.
He's not, you know, he has no accountability for criticizing him.
And he's in a unique position where he, like, creates so much of the tone in a lot of the conservative media sphere with what he chooses to focus on. Because there's so many lazy conservative hosts who just go to Drudge and choose their talking points.
It's not hard.
No. So, but he has this relationship with the audience and the electorate, I guess, that if he starts going towards a critical stance on Trump, that allows people in Congress an easier time to not have to toe the line so much because the people downstream, the citizens, the consumers of these news articles will start to change along with Drudge. It'll become more acceptable, which is also very sad.
Yeah, that'll be an interesting thing to watch. Can you ramp down the propaganda? Because they can do critical stuff, but they can't do like full on anti-Trump stuff, or Drudge can't just yet. So can they make the transition down, or has Pandora's box been opened and we're just fucked? I don't know.
It's an interesting question.
Cause the propaganda machine has been going on high since early 2016, but now it's like, can they still control it? And that's something that I'm really interested to find out.
I am too, especially as like, communities like the people who follow Q and stuff have come along that are so outside even of a Drudge bubble.
Yeah.
Like back in the days of like, Clinton and Bush Jr., W., like, you had a lot easier time with, being sort of a disseminator of talking points.
Right.
Now there's so much, diversity of crazy, that I don't know how much, like, Drudge could 100% change anything.
Yeah.
Or it would be even more alienating, because those people aren't gonna come along for that ride.
Right.
So, they just have two discrete worlds of, like, conservative nuttery.
I mean, it has to splinter into so many different factions just because they, in order to combat the fact that they fielded the single worst human being in history, they had to turn the propaganda machine all the way up to fucking revolution, at radicalizing people to such an extent that they've never been able to do before. Without horrifying consequences. And now, because that splinter is occurring, they probably won't be able to put it back. You know? It's just going to be four separate realities now instead of the two they've created.
We'll see. Let's hope you're wrong.
It'll be interesting.
So, whenever Alex went off air, so to speak, whenever he went off Facebook and all that, apparently he sent Trump some letters. And they got delivered, I guess, by hand. I don't know. Who cares?
Sure.
So after this, Alex got some death threats. And by the way, he describes who threatened his life. I have one suspect. And then Alex loses his goddamn mind.
Okay.
Instead of whining and complaining when they took me off air, I said, wow, this is great. I'm the number one news item right now. I'm going to send a direct message to the president to take action on the Chi-Coms. And I'm going to resend all those letters through the law firms, hand-delivered to the president's office. And, of course, the chief of staff flipped out over it. There's a lot of stuff went on. I got some big death threats. Had a very well-known CIA individual that's overthrown governments basically call up and threaten me. And I just said, fill your hand. Do whatever you're going to do.
So I believe that has to be Steve Pachanik. Because his overthrown governments is an epithet that is only attached to him I've ever heard in Alex's show.
Oh, yeah.
So I wonder if Steve threatened Alex's life.
That would be in 100% character for Steve.
I mean, all this could be made up, but the descriptor has overthrown governments.
Yeah.
Is unique to, in the same way, like, rage-filled Achilles in the Iliad. Like, it's very distinct to Steve.
Yeah. Who else would he say it about?
Just Steve.
Yeah.
You don't think I don't know you kill people? The only power I have in front of everybody and God is that I'm willing to go all the way. I don't want to die, but I'm committed. And I'm trying to show you the power you have as well to take action. That we built this platform. We were patient. We knew this was coming. And now we're delivering in royal flush because God did this. Providence did this. Not Alex Jones. Not even you, the audience. God moved all of us to do this. And that's why they're so scared. But it was pressed on me. I've been praying a lot. And I woke up the last few nights, the middle of the night, and it was, the message was literally from God, my subconscious, whatever you want to call it. Alex, you've got to talk about the fact that you are the leadership, that the audience is the leadership, and that we really are the remnant of Americana from which the whole system can come back. And you've got to declare that leadership because the enemy already knows it and has already admitted it. I mean, they have CIA reports coming out by the left saying Jones and InfoWars beat us. Here's how we stop him. So I have to let the audience know this isn't a game.
So God or his subconscious is telling Alex that he needs to declare himself the leader.
Now,
a leader.
I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to say that he thinks he has the mandate of heaven.
Uh-huh. There's a reason I played that clip earlier in this episode, because his behavior doesn't track with somebody who seems to think that it's crazy for Pat Robertson to say something like that.
Yeah,
he has a belief that God is telling him to declare his leadership role. I don't know of many times that that's been uttered by people like in a positive sense.
I'm going to go to my Secretary of History over here. When somebody says they have talked to God and he has told them that he is the leader, how has that gone in the past?
I would assume that there are a couple times let's say there's a difficult project that needs to be done, like a community garden getting built. And God called me to help build this.
To build the community garden.
I bet there are a lot of times
in
individuals' lives that something like that could be expressed in a non-unhealthy way.
Yeah.
Someone like Alex, never.
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 I don't.
Never.
I find this to be an incredibly troubling thing for him to be saying. God called me to declare my... I've woken up in the middle of the night. And then let's not even break down the whole fucking idea of like him being like, could have been God, could have been my subconscious. Those are different things.
Now win some, lose some.
Those are different things.
He is his ancestors, and his subconscious is God.
If he is expressing that he doesn't know the difference between his subconscious and God's voice...
Not a problem.
It is a problem. It's a big problem.
I don't know
because
why.
He speaks like a goddamn preacher all the time on this show talking about God's will.
Yeah.
And if that's just his subconscious desires, then he is misleading the audience into helping ascribe religious importance to his subconscious desires.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Yeah.
That's a cult.
He really did learn the right lessons from Waco. I think that's what we're learning right there. What you gotta do is declare yourself the representative of God. Tell people that they have to do whatever it is you say because you are their leader. And that's the only lesson to learn from Waco.
And then on a show where he's saying shit like this, and you'd also exist in the same head as a guy who's like, yeah, you know what? Turkey's going to go in and take out these Kurds. And I don't care. That's not our problem.
God told me that's not a big deal.
That's not our problem. Muslims just fight each other.
God said commit genocide all the time. Have you read the Old Testament?
It's It's deeply upsetting for someone to act like this.
Yeah.
But let's take a trip down to something a little bit lighter. Alex looks at a map of the United States.
Don't let him.
And... on this map, you know, it has all the, like, red areas and blue areas.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, there's not much blue on there.
Right.
And then he gets to talking about how everybody in those blue areas, like L.A., they're secretly libertarians.
Sure.
And then Alex realizes that he watched Tombstone the night before and gets a little weird.
People like John Wayne, Clint Eastwood, folks like Bruce Willis that are patriots... it's really almost everybody, and I'm not at liberty to get into it or talk about it, because I'm not starstruck by people, just because they're in movies. Though I did watch Tombstone again last night with my wife, and I'm not gay, I'm not into guys, but it's kind of like that time, the famous basketball player was on one of the late night comedy shows. He's like, have you seen Kevin Brady up close? Now, I'm not gay, but that's a good looking man. Why? He walked up and talked to me and I could hardly talk. I'm being sarcastic. But I mean, Kurt Russell did a great job in that movie. And it's just cool to know that he's a listener, to know he's a patriot. And that's fun stuff. And Charlton Heston was a patriot and liked the show. And I'm not tooting my horn. It's just, we're all fellow travelers. Isn't it cool that like anybody I end up liking in Hollywood, it turns out it's a patriot. And almost everyone else is just unwatchable.
So Alex thinking Kurt Russell is attractive, I mean, whatever, that's cool. You don't have to feel weird about that, Alex.
Fun.
He's an attractive man.
Yeah.
But that part at the end there, I can explain that.
Yeah.
It's not that everybody he likes turns out to be a patriot.
Hmm.
It's that when people tell them that they like him, he is all of a sudden a huge fan of theirs.
Yeah, it does seem like that.
That's,
Dan, and I'm going to go out on a – I just want to ask you a couple of questions.
Uh-huh.
What do all of those actors have in common?
A number of them are old.
Number of them are old. Yeah. Men. Yeah, yeah. Old men.
Old white men.
Right. White men. That's an important, qualification there.
Uh-huh.
I would also argue that having a shit ton of money, would put you more in the agreeing with Alex Jones camp.
Do we know if John Wayne liked InfoWars?
No, we don't. But John Wayne was reportedly a man who was gay.
Liked InfoWars.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I just think it's so awesome, like these sorts of like presentations. The idea that he's saying, like, you know, everyone, you know, I could see that these people are patriots and I'm fans of them, and then I learn that they're secretly fans of mine. It's like, it's so reinforcing. Everyone else sucks.
Yeah.
No, you just don't like people who don't like you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Great.
I want to know, I have one question, and that is it specifically mustache Kurt Russell?
It's Tombstone.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
Kurt Russell in Tombstone had a glorious mustache.
Sure. What about Sam Elliott then? Is Sam Elliott a patriot?
I don't know.
Well, we gotta find this out.
What about Big Trouble in Little China whenever he had the hair?
Inquiring minds want to know.
Absolutely.
So, Alex gets into talking about a new PJ Dubs article.
Dan, get ready for next episode's question being, what's your favorite Kurt Russell?
I'm not sure I have a favorite Kurt Russell. Escape from LA, maybe?
Yeah.
Escape from New York? I don't know. Look, Paul Joseph Watson's written a new article.
Sure.
And they've decided that they have their way, their decision about how to deal with China. And it's interesting.
But Paul's put out a tweet that I'm asking everybody to get out there and retweet and share or rewrite yourself with your own thoughts, because this is the maxim. This is throwing down the gauntlet. It's time for Americans to denounce every corporation that caves in or refuses to denounce China. These corporations trash American values, then openly embrace and cower to China's dictatorship for profit. It's clear who their leader is. It's not Trump. It's Xi Jinping. There's nothing like seeing flame throwing truth, stomping out on the battlefield.
I am old enough to remember when Alex and PJW specifically constantly decried people using boycotts.
Right.
Particularly, they attacked people like Ilhan Omar those folks for the idea of an Israeli boycott.
Yeah.
They have been very consistently anti-boycotts when it's politically expedient for them or, you know, whatever. But now, aha, we've figured it out. Everyone boycott China.
Right. They really can't just deal with the truth. They just can't. There's no way that they can engage with the reality of this situation, which is their leader is not Xi Jinping. It is money.
Uh-huh.
And China has money that they would like to have.
Uh-huh.
And that's it. So they will do whatever it takes. They are a corporation. Their entire job is to make as much money as they can.
Yeah.
And so perhaps the issue is not with the leaders and more with the system that forces them to kowtow.
That is the most explanatory, easiest explanation for everything here.
Yeah, and then they would have to say, well, maybe there's one negative effect of capitalism, and then their whole game is over.
Right. And to be clear, like, I'm saying this is like manifestly inconsistent, based on Alex and Paul's behavior over the course of the time that I've been watching them.
Right.
But, like, hey, I'm not necessarily totally opposed to the idea of, like, some sort of targeted China boycotts.
Sure.
Like, I, if that's the strategy you guys want to take, fine. I'm good on you.
Yeah.
But they're not willing, or they can't resist the urge to make cheap political points when other people use the same strategies that they would seek to use themselves.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is a real problem.
That to everyone should be a real problem.
Right.
The fact that it's not a problem to them is troubling.
Speaking of troubling.
Yeah.
Alex gets to talking about how, like, you know, some of these people in Trump's orbit sound a lot like him. But he can only ever really come up with one example.
Yeah.
And it might be the worst one.
The military and the police, not just here, but around the world, and the White House. You listen to those speeches Stephen Miller's writing. You listen to what other leaders around the world are saying. It's word for word what we're laying out. Because everybody knows, you go to the Oracle at Delphi in Greece, and there's just a bunch of poison gas coming out of the ground. And so people start hallucinating and thinking they're talking to God. No, ladies and gentlemen, this isn't an oracle. This is research and focus and studying the CFR and studying the globalist and then putting that template out over the world, which is the real template.
Within 15 minutes prior to this, 20 minutes prior, he was talking about God talking to him and telling him he needs to take a leadership position.
And maybe it was his subconscious.
This is ludicrous.
Absolutely insane.
Why you gotta take down the Oracle of Delphi?
Absolutely insane.
What the hell is going on? You know what? They would just go and there's poison gases that make them hallucinate. I was stuck under a house that was being fumigated and now I think God is telling me things. it's
1-to-1.
Yeah. It's, you can't, I don't know. I mean, I guess you can. I guess it just does work, but it seems so awful to exist in the same space. A show where you're saying that God is telling you to do things.
Yeah.
And then you're maligning other people who believe God is telling them to do things. It's very strange.
Well, you just explained why religion is bad, Dan. your God is stupid. Come on. 72 virgins in heaven. My God's going to give me a house. Idiot.
It's the same phenomenon as the boycotts thing. It's the same thing. R's good, everyone else bad.
Yep.
Not realizing you're trying to do the same thing.
It's cheating.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely infuriating that they always get away from it and they always get away with it and they win.
Mm-hmm.
It's infuriating.
That said, Alex is probably pretty close to right on when he's saying that Steve Miller sounds like him.
Oh, no, that's true. Yeah. That's true.
Not good though.
He did choose the worst white supremacist, in the entire organization, I would imagine. So.
I wonder if Alex told him to do that spray on hair thing.
Probably.
You look weak, bald. So Alex gets into some science issues.
Maybe that was a pilot product for him. He's a brand, head force.
Let's
it'll
try
grow
it out.
It'll make it look like your hair grew.
Steve, we need you to buzz market the new product. Get out there. You look great. So it's science corner time. Alex has got some bad news. About the flu shot.
Oh, boy.
Everything we do here is common sense. You know, year after year for the last 40 years or so, I have studies right here, Mainline News. The flu gets worse every year. Well, of course it does. All the studies say when you take a flu shot, it lowers your immunity to other flus by 50%. Three flu shots consecutively over 3 years is known to trigger Alzheimer's and dementia in people above the age of 65. Don't believe me? Go look it all up. That's what's so frustrating. Oh, and now this year will be the most deadly ever!
So he's just making this shit up.
Yeah.
If you consult the CDC statistics on flu seasons, even if you just look at the years between 2010 and 2018, you see a lot of up and down. A lot of it's really fluid. You know, some seasons are worse, some aren't as bad.
Yeah.
There's a lot of variables. Now, as for that Alzheimer's thing, that's not supported by any actual science. According to a paper in the Canadian Medical Academy Journal from 2001, which was just writing up of a study that looked at exactly this possible correlation in senior citizens, they found, quote, after adjustment for age, sex, and education, past exposure to vaccines against diphtheria and tetanus, poliomyelitis, and influenza was associated with a lower risk for Alzheimer's disease than no exposure to these vaccines. This is only one such study that found that there may be indications that getting a flu shot annually actually decreases your risk for dementia. But these studies are all clear to point out that the results can't definitively say that there's a causal relationship there.
Right, right, right.
Anyway, the point is that Alex, what he's saying is 100% not supported by anything real. He is just making shit up.
Yeah,
these are talking points that go around.
No,
that they're
of course,
just
of course.
Absolutely not true.
I don't understand the framework of any study that would be centered around 3 years of consecutive flu vaccines, as though that is, like, why would you choose three? Why wouldn't you choose a longer period of time? Or
I'm
three
guessing,
just seems such a
I'm
stupid
guessing
and
Alex
arbitrary
made
number.
That up.
Yeah, he had to have made that
yeah,
up.
Yeah, probably. So, but it's not just him that's anti these shots, man.
Sure, it's everybody.
Certainly. There's even celebrities who are anti-shots.
I don't care!
And then two, Fox Sports host go, yeah, we both took the flu shot last year when they pushed it on us. And it almost killed us. They talked about it on the radio. They go on TV and say, I'm not taking a flu shot. What about you? No. Everybody I know that takes it gets it. I'm never taking it again. Ooh, they need to be fired. Those dirty Americans open their fat mouths about, yeah, we both took it last year when they pushed it on us. We got sick.
So what he's talking about here is a conversation that Shannon Sharp and Skip Bayless had on their show, Undisputed.
Yes.
Sharp, he made a joke about how the only shot the Arizona Cardinals had that season is a flu shot. He then said that he had not gotten a shot when he was offered one at CVS, which isn't the same thing as Fox making him get one at all when you really get down to it.
Yeah.
Skip Bayless then said that, quote, I took one flu shot in my life and immediately got the flu. I did. That was the last one. So it seems like he's not saying that Fox forced him to get a shot either. It seems like those parts of the story are things Alex is just making up in order to make this sound good.
Yeah.
All this is nonsense.
Yeah.
This is just a dumb conversation that Shannon Sharp and Skip Bayless had that Alex is misrepresenting to make a different point.
I refuse to engage with somebody who is quoting two titans of takes in Skip fucking Bayless and Shannon Sharp.
Sure.
Great. I don't give a fuck what they have to say about literally anything. And that includes sports.
The NFL?
That includes sports.
All right.
Those two idiots are stupid.
I think it's interesting because what you have is the kernel of something real in terms of, like, this was a conversation where they were critical of vaccines.
Yeah, no.
But that's
sure.
not good enough for Alex. He has to turn it into a thing where Fox forced them both to get a shot last year. They both got sick, and now they're never going to take it again. When in reality, only one of them referenced getting the flu after getting the shot.
Right.
Which there's a better explanation for than whatever Skip Bayless is coming up with.
Yeah.
And then Shannon Sharp was just saying, I didn't get one.
you just explained Skip Bayless's whole career.
There's a better explanation
than what Skip Bayless came up with.
Yeah. So in this next clip, man, Alex is talking about how he's right about everything, which seems to be a theme, on the shows. Cause God, you know.
Right. Subconscious mandate of heaven.
So Alex is, he'll reference in particular alien, not alien, too used to Project Camelot. Animal human hybrids.
Yes, chimeras.
He's totally right about all that. The fish people with sad human eyes.
Of course.
And I'm not so interested in that stuff because I know that he's not engaging with the real science and he's creating sci-fi weirdo devil fantasies about all this.
Spider goats.
I am interested in this clip though because I think what it demonstrates is that Alex is still really mad about something that happened to him in the long, distant past.
Okay.
It's all out in the open now. Every major topic we hit because it's already out there. Human animal hybrids. That was in MIT research 23 years ago. I was on air. Listeners would mail me stuff because they never saw it on the news, but it was in white papers. So they would get me to cover it. And listeners would go, oh, he's crazy. I'd have people come to me in grocery stores and stuff and go, and pizza places and go, you're a liar. There's no human animal hybrids. I had a guy at Conan's Pizza push me. He'll actually push me. He was obviously drunk. And he goes, I went to UT, had a biology degree. There's no such thing as animal human hybrids. You liar. And I said, how long ago did you go to UT? 1979. I graduated. I said, get out of my face before I kick your ass. Yeah, well, I was like, yeah, this isn't a simulation. I said, put your hands on me again. I'm going to break your neck. And it's not that I'm a tough guy. That happened, though. Because he pushed me. I'm at the counter. He pushes me. And I let him do that. I turned around and I said, you're an idiot. I'm about to beat your ass. I said, I'm about to break your neck, which I shouldn't have done. But the point is that.
What is the point?
There's a bunch of ignorant people that live in La La Land, and they're scared by those of us that actually research things.
Oh, that's the point. That's the point.
I didn't realize that was the point.
I think the point is that he's mad about someone pushing him in a pizza place 20 years ago.
I am pretty sure the point is he's very mad about somebody pushing him in a pizza place 20 years ago.
Yeah, maybe unduly mad.
And it was a perfect place to push somebody. It's Conan's Pizza.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what you have to. You have to behave like a barbarian in a Conan's Pizza.
It seems like it's on brand.
Yeah,
for the
absolutely.
Place. It's like how at the Outback, there's no rules.
Yeah.
Just right. At Conan's, you gotta be a barbarian.
You gotta be a barbarian.
And a conqueror.
Yes,
you gotta conquer your hunger.
You do have to conquer your hunger.
I just find things like this, you know, this is along the same lines as the, like, hey, the clip won't play. I'm happy about that.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's just,
no big deal.
Just a real under the surface severe anger.
Yeah.
That, creeps out every now and again.
Look, and I'm no stranger to holding inexplicable grudges.
Sure.
I'm fine with that.
Totally.
But 20 years is too long.
Especially for something this trivial.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
A guy
getting pushed one time?
Sure.
Yeah.
Let it go.
Jesus.
Alex, let it go. So, in his next clip, he talks about, you know, we get more of this religious imagery, surrounding Trump, which again, is something that, is apparently Chinese in nature. So I don't know why Alex is doing this.
Trump's the most truthful president I've ever seen in my lifetime. It's dizzying how they spin everything. He's a liar. And I'm persecuted for supporting Trump. I don't just get up here because paychecks are coming from Trump. I support Trump because compared to Hillary Clinton, he's the second coming. I mean, you know, I mean, it's, she's the second coming of Satan here, folks.
So, I mean, he's the second coming compared to Hillary. It's the same thing. It's still just a religious savior messages.
Yeah, we don't have to keep comparing him to Hillary. We can let that go as well.
Well, no, he's doing that because she is now throwing her hat back in the ring.
Ugh.
So it's totally relevant to talk about her all the time.
Jesus.
But I mean, he doesn't need that excuse. Obviously, he still talks about her all the goddamn time.
As do they all.
But I think
wistfully, I believe.
It's just interesting to me, like this level of taking such offense at Pat Robertson's comments for the reason that you have laid out. That
yes.
is, the mandate of heaven is a Chinese communist influence creeping into America.
Right.
And then you go ahead and just use very similar, terminology.
Yeah.
Imagery surrounding, him in the other direction. It's nonsense.
Yeah. It is very much like his real issue is with the mandate of heaven being a traditional thought process in Chinese history.
No.
Not that, if Pat Robertson had said,
he has the mandate of heaven.
If Pat Robertson had said he is no longer supported by God, Alex would find a different way to hate him.
His approach would be the same.
Because it's mandate of heaven, he gets to be like, it's the Chinese.
Now, if, Pat Robertson had said Trump retains the mandate of heaven, this wouldn't be a conversation. Alex wouldn't
Absolutely
care
not.
About it at all.
No, there are an infinite number of ways that this could play out.
Yeah.
But just because it's mandate of heaven.
Yeah. It's just that Pat Robertson's out of pocket and Alex
right.
doesn't like that. And the term that he used is traceable back to Chinese tradition. And
yep.
so that's the best way to go about this.
You got it. Easy.
Stupid.
1-to-1.
So on one of our recent episodes about the present day, Alex was doing a Black Friday comes early sale.
Yes,
and
which makes sense.
My position on that was, well, that's a bad sign.
Yeah.
This isn't a good thing. It turns out it was a great thing
okay.
compared to his new sale.
Sure.
Also, we had to end the 50% off store-wide on the storable foods and stuff like that and a lot of the items, but we've brought in an everything must go sale. Because things are so crazy, I'm not going to sit on any of our inventory. We have a lot of new things that come back into stock around Christmas, right before Christmas. But a lot of things aren't coming back in until 2, 3, 4 months into next year because they got to go wild source it. You got to have the order in. It's got to be ready. It's got to be produced. And it comes to you. And it's just gut level. I've decided to sell everything out. And we're selling it at 40 to 70% off, even hot bestsellers.
Oh, boy.
Some of these are at cost, and I've just decided to move everything out so that we have cash in our operations no matter what happens to continue battling forward probably 6 months into next year. We can go further than that, but I am transferring everything into liquid fuel for major launch operations. I'm following my gut. So this sale probably on many items is the biggest ever, and it's the Infowars. Everything must go. Total, super, supreme, mega sale.
I don't think I have many connotations that are good for everything must go sales.
Yeah, the only business that can successfully sustain an infinite everything must go is mattresses, right?
I didn't even think those can.
I don't know.
That's certainly one of the places you see that sign a lot.
All the time. No, yeah. There was one in Logan Square that I remember walking by over and over and over again for 2 years at least that had the everything must go sign in it.
Uh-huh.
Always fine.
Well, I think it's...
Never anybody in there.
I think you might see those signs at, let's say, I don't know, a Halloween pop-up store
oh,
on
yeah?
November 3rd.
That one will go?
you might, I don't think that most places that are doing well have an everything must go sale.
Furniture places, everything must go, not a good sign.
Car dealerships.
Ooh, that's
when they want next year's model.
Yeah.
To, you know.
Yeah.
Or they're just trying to scam people.
Right.
Everything must go is not a term that, I feel like Alex would be aware enough of that like this looks bad.
Yeah. Maybe he's gotten really into Marie Kondo.
It could be.
He's just got so much in the, he's trying to really find out what products he resonates with.
I don't know. Based on all of this, I don't think anything sparks joy for him. But also, according to him, all of these products are selling out. So there's not much clutter in that warehouse. I don't know. As always, this is, you know, speculative and Alex is full of shit all the time. So I'm not going to put too much stake into anything like this. But I do feel like he has to know that his audience, like, no matter what they believe is true, no matter what he can talk them into, I think everybody who's alive understands that an everything must go sale is very close to a going out of business sale.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, very much.
And that connotation isn't something you'd necessarily want to put into people's minds. It kind of gives a feeling of surrender.
Inevitability.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I if I were Alex, I would have chosen a different name.
Yeah. I would go with the, one last car wash to save the rec center sale.
Sure.
That one would work.
There's all kinds of movies he must have seen that he could reference.
The dance party to save the,
Yeah. So, that's going out to break, and Alex comes back into break with, Everybody Wants to Rule the World, that song. And it gets really wistful for him. He gets very sentimental.
Well, I mean, Tears for Fears does that to just about everybody.
This is a fucking weird, little trip down Alex's brain.
Waging war on corruption. Well, it's Alex Jones.
Welcome to your life. There's no turning back.
I could listen to an album of that.
9, 10 years old when this song came out. I remember sitting there at the local neighborhood pool looking at the women, the moms. I wasn't looking at the teenage girls.
Okay.
Thinking those look really good.
What?
Come on, tell that story right now.
Don't tell me that story ever.
This is a family show.
Do not tell me that story.
This is a family show, Jordan.
I was 9 or 10 and I was listening to Tears for Fears trying to bang moms.
Yeah. Why am I telling this story?
Why am I telling this story? That's a good question.
Alex, weird. You're very weird.
That is something I don't want to hear from anybody.
Very strange.
Yeah.
So, Alex gets into, some more China business and, this clip doesn't really matter too much, except for the end of it, because it demonstrates ineffectiveness in Alex's ability to incorporate information that he gets in real time.
Yeah.
When his staff pulls up information and, like, puts it on the document cam and stuff like that, he ends up seeing things, but he's not able to process what he's seeing at all. Mm-mm. And that leads him to say things, perhaps overconfidently and gloatingly, that are not true.
The company that's controlling the NBA in China, Tencent, they're the ones that bought Reddit for $150 million. Of course, they didn't call it buying it, but they run it, and that's when they banned the Donald.
They run it.
Chinese state-run thing buys Reddit and bans Donald Trump's number one website. More impressions than his Twitter account. We're just going to let the Chi-Coms do that. Unbelievable. Yeah, now it's, I'm sorry, I said $150 million. Now it's even more. Wow, I guess I missed that. I guess it's $300 million that they bought it for. Wow, on top of the $150 million, I guess it's $450 million. It just keeps growing. I'm sorry, I've got my numbers wrong. It's worse than I'm saying here. Excuse me.
That's completely not true. They'd pulled up a headline that said the Tencent led a round of investment.
Yeah.
They invested $150 million, but the total amount invested by everyone in that round of funding was $300 million.
Right.
There was $150 million from other sources, with Tencent being the lead investor in the session.
Yeah.
That's a completely different thing, and that is the $150. It's not in addition to that $150 that they invested, making it $450 million. And they didn't buy Reddit. You couldn't buy Reddit for $150 million. million?
No, you can buy
the
it for
fuck out of here. It's a $3 billion company.
Nah, it's $150 million.
No.
No. Well, okay, they didn't say they bought it, but they put in $150 million of we're going to run your $3 billion company money.
It's 5% ownership if it was a strict buying a stake
right.
in things.
Right, right, right. But it is a control of the board 5%
yeah, control. Yeah, yeah. Yes, yeah, yeah. Certainly. Yeah. This is hot bullshit.
Yeah.
But what I want to make perfectly clear is the way that Alex doesn't care about anything. It's just the optics. The optics need to be that Tencent is running this. So, oh my God, there's a 300 million number with Tencent in the headline.
Yeah.
That's gotta be 300 million more that they put in. He doesn't fact check any of this. He doesn't say later, like, oh, I'm sorry, I got that wrong.
Yeah.
It is the 150 million. It was a round of investment. It was other firms that also joined in.
Yeah.
This is
you know
such
who
bullshit.
Put in you know who put in 750 million?
Well, I know that who is it? Snoop Dogg is a big investor, but
close.
I don't think that much.
Close.
What's that?
50 cent.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Tears for Fears. Vitamin water, 50 cent is involved, right?
Really?
I think so.
I have no idea.
Anyway, it's a present day episode, Jordan, so you know what that means. We got to talk to Robert Barnes. Barnes is on.
It. How is Barnes on?
He's always on. He is never far away from an InfoWars microphone.
What a motherfucker.
So Barnes comes in. They want to talk about this whistleblower situation and Donald Trump's troubles.
Sure. They want to incite a riot, I assume.
I don't even want to really talk about his appearance because it's super boring.
Yeah.
I just want to play this clip because I think that this isn't something good to hear from a lawyer.
It's only obstruction when you have someone doing something illegal to oppose the process. Doing something illegal is entirely appropriate, in fact, what you're supposed to do in an adversarial process.
So I believe
what
Robert Barnes is saying is that you have to commit a crime in order to obstruct justice.
Right, which is not the case.
From my reading of the definition,
yes,
I'm not a lawyer,
right,
but I believe that you can do legal things in order to obstruct an investigation that then become illegal.
Yes, that is how it works,
so,
generally speaking.
I don't know if I...
Look, okay, so just because you murdered a guy doesn't mean that it was that it's illegal as long as you murdered him legally, right?
I guess so.
That's his argument, and it makes perfect sense.
I guess so. All right, I'm coming around on this.
I think it's a good one. I think he's a great lawyer, Dan.
I find that to be a red flag.
And I want him to be a judge. And okay. Frankly,
Supreme Court.
It wouldn't be a surprise if he became one.
Put him on the Supreme Court.
Yeah, that's what I want. Great legal minds.
So Barnes is on, and they're talking about all this stuff. And in the middle of it, Alex announces that he's having another guest on. And it's William Binney, the former technical head of the NSA.
Oh, great.
And the way he announces this is pretty interesting.
All right, the former technical head of the National Security Agency, William Binney, who is recognized as the greatest code breaker in U.S. history, a super mathematician genius, probably smarter than the guy that broke the Enigma code, who was a genius over in England. And of course, I mean, I don't get excited about LeBron James or, you know, Roger Staubach. I mean, it's interesting. It's cool. I like
two
watching some of those games sometimes.
Recent references.
You know, I think that's cool athletic prowess, but super mathematicians and stuff, or, you know, people that can call things way ahead, that's what I'm into. That's what I get giddy about. That's what makes me excited. And people that have courage to tell the truth and who are real leaders and who are trying to build a better world, who aren't chicken you know what's, chicken you know what dimension people who live in the chicken SH-T dimension, who just want to keep people
great
down
family.
And are upset by other people's success. Those of us that love justice and love God aren't like that, but the bad people, they're all over the place. They are like that, and we've got to stand up to them. Speaking of standing up to them, we can't do it if you don't support us financially.
Hey,
I'm trying to make it really easy
it
for
was.
You to do it, and you've really come through.
Smooth.
There it was.
Smooth.
That was a good one.
So William Binney is, like, really right about everything.
Sure.
He was a big Seth Rich truther
yeah.
Guy, so that's one strike.
He did the math, Dan.
Uh-huh. He did it wrong.
Well,
he did the math
I
wrong.
Mean, that is a possible thing you could
he admitted
do.
That he was...
But he did do the math.
Sure. And then, of course, who could forget about the time that he came on Alex's show around the time of the Devin Nunes memo?
Right.
And he claimed that he had a copy of the memo.
It was
which
there.
Alex reported on air and they read from, and it turned out to not be the Devin Nunes memo.
No, it was.
No, it was not.
No,
it was a public document that they were passing off as one.
Yeah.
I would say that's two strikes.
Yep.
Third strike, being on Alex's show. So I do not care about this dude.
I do like Alex's two categories of person for which he becomes speechless. Mathematicians and prophets?
Well, he's saying that because Barnes is still there, and Barnes is a notorious political gambler.
Ah, oh, okay.
That's,
now I got
that's
it.
Why he's saying people it. Who can call things way in
gotcha,
advance.
Gotcha.
That's him trying to be like, Barnes, you're cool too.
What a fucking idiot.
Yeah. So I don't really particularly care too much about what William Binney is bringing to the table.
Why not?
You can kind of guess what it is. It's just everything is a
geometry?
Grand conspiracy against Trump.
Yeah, yeah.
The deep state's doing all of this shit.
Right.
I feel like with the Seth Rich stuff, I don't view you as someone worth my time, even looking into what you're talking about.
Nope.
And then with the Nunes memo thing, that was an intentional fraud that was being passed off on Alex's show.
Yeah.
You're disqualified in many ways from my consideration.
Right.
And so Bill Binney gets sent off to the dustbin of propagandists.
Right, which is why he will have a show on after Hannity in 2 months.
Perhaps. So we have one.
He'll replace Shep Smith on the on Fox News.
I could see it.
Yeah, no kidding.
I don't know if Benny's got it though. I don't know if he has the charisma.
No.
Charisma. He doesn't have that je ne sais quoi.
That X factor.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Or he's just ugly on TV. That's also possible.
And we can tell that he doesn't have that that spark here in this last clip, because Alex is in the. This is kind of where we're gonna we're signing off. They do talk for a couple more minutes after this, and then Mike Adams takes over the show. But as Alex is ranting about the globalists and how they just want to destroy everything, something goes terribly wrong.
And then as soon as they get control, they immediately just ram the ship onto the beach, wrecking everything, thinking that they just have a right to do it because they were in that position of power when clearly they're breaking the law. And then now, 20 years later, they think they can remove a president. This isn't 1974. They're not getting away with it. And as they go from being arrogant to now being scared, it makes them even more dangerous.
Yes. Hello?
What Hello? The fuck just happened? No. No.
Hello? I think we lost the circuit. Hello?
Oh, my God. Oh, it was beautiful. Keep saying hello, please. Just keep saying it one more time. Over the music, say it one more time.
We had some issues there, but we're going to come back and finish up with William Binney. We've been having a lot of problems, but we're going to fix it. We'll be right back on the other side, hour number four. 5 more minutes with William Binney, then Mike Adams is coming in.
That's, wow. I hate to say it, that's unprecedented.
Wow. That is
Alex's
incredible.
Mic turned off.
Incredible. That is so good.
Somebody accidentally hit a cough button on Alex or something.
Ooh.
Right in the middle of a rant.
That is
leaving Bill Binney high and dry. And that's why I don't think he has the juice to host his own show. So all he could do is say, hello, hello. It's very weird.
The idea of the we'll be right back technical difficulties music playing and then just over that being, hello?
Hello?
Hello? Is anybody there?
Yeah. I mean, this is kind of, there's a
That's
surreal.
That's not a good sign.
No. No, it is not. There's a surreal aspect to this, and like, that is pretty bizarre. But like, ultimately, I don't find a ton of inspiration in the present day. I do think if you listen to these episodes, there is like a lot going on in the real world.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of very serious issues. And some of them are touched on by Alex, like the China stuff.
Irresponsibly and stupidly.
Absolutely. Then you have stuff like the situation in Syria. And that's very serious and very real, like that requires immediate action on people's parts.
Yeah.
And you have Alex dismissing it without even considering any of the variables. Like, this isn't withdrawing troops. This isn't the thing that I'm presenting it as. I just think that so much of this is very uninspired.
Yeah.
And also very predictable.
Yeah.
Like, so much of it is, like, with the Trump stuff, like, any piece of news could come out regarding the Ukraine, and he's just gonna say, this is all about Biden.
Yep.
You know, you can have that. Anything happens in the world, it's China's fault. China sucks. I'm right about China.
Yeah.
I'm the king of China.
Yeah.
And it's just, there are interesting trends that I'm interested in following. Like we talked about, like the idea of what happens if Drudge leaves the team.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's interesting. But in terms of like big stuff, like it's just, you go in and you expect to find an interesting take or a position or like, is Alex going to, like, his principles should lead him to abandon Trump over the Turkey and Syria thing.
Absolutely.
It really should, especially considering how severely he took the bombing. When he got drunk on air and screamed, Trump shows ISIS up our dirty assholes.
Yeah.
Like, you would really think that this would be sort of a, like, well, there's no explanation for this that's acceptable. But it's not. It's nothing to him. He just moves forward with his dumb bullshit.
It is kind of borne out, I think, what we talked about almost at the very beginning, which is that he has to exist in opposition to power. He can't exist as a propagandist for it. Mm-hmm. It's just too bullshit.
Yeah, and you try, like, the globalist deep state, everybody is, they're overpowered, and, you know, we have the presidency, the Senate, the courts, Supreme Court, like, you know, but still we're the victims and the little guys.
Yeah.
Like, you can try that, and it probably works for a bit.
For a while, but it's
the illusion falls off eventually, and especially when...
Especially when it's this comically inept and evil.
And you have no, connection to your former adversarial positions.
Yeah.
When the things that you would criticize the other side about, you're absolutely derelict in your duty or just you've given up or forgotten or whatever.
Well, he's come to just playing pure team sports.
Yeah.
Trump did this, that means it's good. I don't need to think about it. I'm just gonna make up shit to defend him anyway, so I don't even need to have any critical analysis. And he doesn't need to even really work on any spin. He just lies about it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in opposition to power, he can find some angle to attack.
It's much easier to bullhorn.
Yeah.
In that
absolutely.
Position too.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's pointless.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have anything worth doing.
Yeah. And then there's another dynamic too that is like sort of this, ratcheting up of tension and then sort of letting that go and then ratcheting it back up. Cause on other sort of more recent episodes that we've gone over, you see like a real intensity towards, civil war.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. And, you know, I think that's still living in the background of these episodes, but it's certainly not as much of a fever pitch or as much of a focus for him.
Right.
And I think that there's a strategy to that too. Like having people go on that ride, that roller coaster of intense, this is a real threat. It's an immediate threat. This is happening. It's inevitable. And then like, I'm right about everything. China sucks. Ray. I like to look at old women at the pool when I was a kid.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that being intentional. I would say also based on his erratic mood swings.
Totally.
You know, so I would say that there's a combination of both and they happily dovetail into one where he doesn't even need to think about
it. Yeah, I think it's less intentional and more just a, like, this is what he ends up doing.
Yeah.
And then he doesn't really consider the effect that might have had on people.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, we just move on.
Yeah.
I don't care that I was just yelling about a civil war. Let's get on to other issues, like boycotting China and trying to make excuses for Trump's ridiculous foreign policy.
Yeah, and it fucks up. I can't imagine being a regular listener because just the clips that, you know, you share with me, it fucks up my sense of value. Like, there's so many things where I'm like, shit, a civil war and so much, all of this shit, and I don't know what's valuable and how we can even perform triage on any of this shit. You know?
Like having
we're
any
fighting
sense of
on
scale.
All fronts, and I don't know, all of them are equally important and equally unimportant in his context. So it's always difficult divorcing yourself from that reality of like, no, this is, fucked up, you know?
Yeah. It's gotta be weird.
Yeah.
It's gotta be weird to believe him.
Yeah. And it's like, I don't support anybody. Nobody is doing good things in any position of power. It's so infuriating.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh man, China, they have fucking death camps. They're exterminating their Muslim population. That's fucked up. And then you're like, well, the United States has fucking death camps and we're exterminating populations. So I don't fucking care. I don't know. Everybody's fucked.
Mm-hmm.
It's very difficult to respond to this with any kind of semblance of sanity.
Yeah. I agree. It's becoming increasingly more so.
Yeah.
But it's what you gotta do.
Yeah. It's a struggle.
Yeah.
It's worth it.
Yep. And we'll be back.
We
on
will
Monday.
Be back. Absolutely.
But until then, we have a website.
Hello?
Oh, I see what you're doing.
Hello?
I was very worried there for a second. I thought you'd had a stroke.
No. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yeah, we're also on Twitter.
We are on Twitter. It's at @knowledge_fight and @GoToBedJordan.
That's correct. We're also on Facebook.
We are on Facebook. And if you would like to listen to the podcast, please go to iTunes, download, review, share, go to wherever you listen to podcasts and do the same. We would like to, have other people
sure.
enjoy it.
Sure. But until we're back, I'm Neo, I'm Leo, I'm DZX Clark, I am the Everything Must Go Sale.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air, thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex, I'm a first-time caller, I'm a huge fan, I love your work.
I love you.